So welcome back to another episode of the 10-4 show. This week on 10-4, we're going to dive into CLR4 security. Specifically, I'm going to talk about one aspect of security changes in CLR4, and that has to deal with sandboxing, writing a host app where you also have some add-ins that you want to host. One of the biggest changes in this area that personally I'm very, very, very excited about, Code access security, as we knew it before, consider it dead. A very complex piece of software where, man, we found a lot of confusion from users having to dive into what code access security is and how to use it, how to configure it. And you could find yourself in a situation where an application would work as expected on your machine, but then because of the different machine configuration for CAS on a different machine, it would fail on that other machine. It was a very complex matrix that would be required to understand how all the different pieces actually interacted and resulted in behavior that a lot of times seemed fairly unpredictable. So this model with CLR4 has been drastically reduced and simplified, really adopting the Silverlight model of security, this security transparency level 2. So what does that mean? Well, it's actually quite simple. When you dig into it, a developer writing an application really only needs to think of two things, fully trusted code and partially trusted code. Now, the way from a security standpoint that exhibits itself in your application is that there's these three different types of code. You have security critical code, which is like the very protected and very rigorously examined code to make sure it's not doing anything that's in violation on your machine. Then you have this security safely critical code, and then fully transparent code. Now, by default, when we're talking about fully trusted, partially trusted, all that kind of stuff, if you're running an executable off your local machine or off the network drive now, by default, it's fully trusted. So let's dig into this critical and safely critical and transparent code when it comes to creating a sandboxed application or a hosted application. There's one thing before we go into there that you really need to know, and that's how these different layers interact with each other. Well, first we have the critical type of code, where critical is allowed to call safely critical code and is allowed to call transparent. Makes sense, nothing too complicated, it's very simple. Safely critical code can also call directly into critical code, as well as calling into transparent code. Once again, nothing groundbreaking here. The difference you'll notice is that transparent code can call into safely critical code, but transparent code is absolutely not allowed to call into security critical code. This is something that will be strictly enforced at runtime, as you'll see in the example that we'll dive into. The second that transparent code tries to access critical code, bam, it fails. You're down, it absolutely is not allowed. So what does this look like for a host, a sandboxed application? Well, at the bottom, the critical code, we have our host code. And that host code is going to load a bunch of add-ins. Well, remember, the add-ins are going to be loaded as transparent code in this separate app domain we spin up in which to host all the add-ins. So add-ins absolutely are not allowed to call directly into host code. This is something where the add-ins being fully transparent and the host being security critical is not allowed. That communication is not allowed. So how do we get around this? How do we have functionality from the host that we want to expose to the add-ins in a secure way? Well, the host will expose various APIs or assemblies for the add-ins to actually consume, and they will be loaded as essentially as safely critical code, to where then the add-ins can consume the APIs that are designed specifically by the host for the add-ins to consume. Now, there's two ways to declare that these host APIs or assemblies are designed for this. One is APTCA, which is allow partially trusted callers attribute, which I'll actually show using in this demo that we're going to dive into, or the secure safely critical attribute of various methods. Now, SSCA is primarily used by Microsoft as part of the .NET framework. To use it, it requires that certain assemblies be signed with a specific key. So most of the time, you're going to be going the route of allow partially trusted callers and using that at the assembly level. So let's go ahead and dive into what this looks like in the code. I'm going to go ahead and open up Visual Studio. And once we get this open, I want to look at a simple application where in our untrusted code, we have a method isFibonacci that all it does is calculate the Fibonacci sequence. And you can see it uses this logger class. I'll show you where that's defined here in a bit. And just tries to log some activity. Now this logger class, you can see here, is declared in this security sandboxing.logging project, so this separate assembly, and the logger just has that log method. So our untrusted code or our untrusted project is referencing this logging assembly and using the logger from that, and you can see that the logging is strong named and the sandbox itself or the host is strong named. I'll show you why in a second. So that untrusted code is simply going to log. And as we'll see when we first run this, it actually fails. So let's go ahead and run this. And you can see it throws an exception. Attempt by security transparent method, and then the isFibonacci method, to access security critical method log. Well, how is that log method actually security critical? How is that set up? Well, let's go ahead and dive into our sandbox, where we're actually setting up that app domain. So in program, you can see that I'm grabbing the strong names. Here I'm grabbing strong names as evidence out of the assemblies that have the sandboxer, which is my host app, and the logger, which is that logging assembly. And then when I create this new app domain, which I'm going to use as my sandbox, you can see the final parameters, the params that you have at the end of create domain, I'm going to pass in the sandbox strong name and the logger strong name, which is effectively in that domain going to load them as full trust. So now since they're loaded as full trust, they're designated as security critical code. And you'll notice that my add-in, or in this case the untrusted assembly, is not loaded as full trust. So then it's loaded as partially trust and as security transparent. Well, when that partially trusted code, as we'll see here, the isFibonacci method is security transparent. So when it tries to call into the logging assembly, which is security critical, it fails. And that's something that's very simple. You'll see the sandbox that we actually load up just passes in the entry point, all that kind of stuff, which is the isFibonacci, and runs it. And then we're just unwrapping it into our current domain, current app domain. So nothing groundbreaking here. But you'll see that to do that, it was very little. I just specified which domains or which assemblies I wanted as full trust, and then it automatically failed. Let's run that again. So once again, a very, very, very simple process that we put in place allowed this ability to segregate the code from transparent code into security critical. Now, what's great about this is the workaround is very, very simple. I'm going to open up assembly info in my logging. Oops. Let's go in to assembly info. And here what I'm going to do is I'm going to add an assembly level attribute called allow partially trusted callers. Now what this is going to do is now when that transparent code, let's go ahead and rebuild this, when that transparent code calls into the logging assembly, you'll see that it works. So let's go ahead and do this. Now it works. It doesn't fail. So it's a very simple way to segregate that security and have it enforced between the host and the add-ins, And you can see, especially compared to code access security, this is an absolute drastic reduction in what's required by the developer to actually understand and know. Really, that's it. I mean, it's a very simple demo. This is really easy stuff, and that's really what we want to do. We want to encourage secure programming, especially for sandboxing and hosted apps, and do it in a way that's very simple to understand and very easy to implement. So that's it for this week on 10.4. I hope you've enjoyed this quick dive down into some CLR4 security changes around sandboxing. Until next time, over and out.